Hey Swifties, welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clownelia Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode.
It's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. Hello, everybody. What a chieftastic few weeks we have had. Chieftastic is my new word of the week. I feel like with Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce, apparently their names are now Kels instead of Kelce. We have so much to get into, but for today, we are shifting gears, taking you back to the Shake It Off era, arguably one of the most controversial eras. You either love it or you hate it, but for today's sake, we are going to shake it off, whether you like it or not, because we have a very exciting guest. I heard you guys, you wanted guests. I've got them. So like I said, today we will be diving into the behind the scenes from an insider's perspective of being in arguably one of the most iconic music videos of all time. So without further ado, I am joined today by my Swiftie and friend, Kayla Hockman. Hello, Kayla.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to talk about it. I feel like it was so long ago, but I feel like nobody really knows too much about it, which is exciting.
I've never met anybody who is in a music video, let alone a Taylor music video. So I feel like this is such a fun segue. But before we get into the music video itself, obviously you are a Swiftie first and a PR professional second. I would love to know, just for the viewers, a little bit more about yourself and when and how you became a Taylor fan.
Yeah, I actually became a fan in like 08 in high school. I remember still, so I was a cheerleader in high school, and these two girls were obsessed with Taylor Swift back in her like country era and were telling everyone about it, and they got so much shame for it. And I was like, what is this? So I started listening, became obsessed, and have been a fan ever since. I've gone to every tour. And then when I got the email to participate in Shake It Off, I didn't even, it's just kind of the craziest story. And I feel like people don't know all of the inside behind the scenes. So I'm excited to tell it.
I'm so excited to learn about it because I feel like so much about Taylor and Taylor Nation as like a company. I'm terrified to know what those like NDAs for like the dancers on Eras Tour look like, or even the people who are like, I think of them at like a big black office table, like all the people who work on Easter eggs. I like think of them as little minions in the dark, like on their laptops. But I want to know, like, what are the rules on like those documents, those laptops, like all of the contracts and things behind the scenes. So I feel like it's really rare that we get to pull the curtain back and see or hear anything. So obviously, whatever you are able to share or can talk about, we will absolutely be getting into. But I thought I would share with everybody how we connected and how we met, because it's kind of funny and weird and random. And I feel like LA, it kind of works that way. Like either you meet someone through somebody or you have these strange origin stories. So it's so funny. I feel like I can't remember exactly, but I know that we had met initially at a Gwen Stefani podcast recording.
Yes. That's right. And I always forget about that because I immediately think of tour. I remember when we met for the second time and I always get it confused because I forget that we met at that podcast recording because I just completely remember of Arizona for the opening night because our friend Kelce was doing a story and was going to interview people based on what they were wearing. But yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I know. So if you guys are familiar with the podcast Los Angeles, you can look it up wherever you're streaming your podcast. It's a really fun beauty podcast. And I know one of the hosts, her name is Kirby. Kirby's also like a red carpet reporter. She's very much like in the LA kind of celebrity scene. And you probably might have seen her content pop up on Instagram before as well. If not anything, you've probably like seen a red carpet interview with her, but I really like her podcast. And I cannot remember how I crossed paths with Kirby or how I got introduced to her, but she had sent out, she was doing a live recording of her podcast episode with Gwen Stefani, which was really fun because it was all about her brand Give Beauty. And so I got the invite very last second. Like she had opened it up to, I think it was either like her friends or podcast listeners. So I submitted it really fast and it worked out well because I was a solo person going, whereas a lot of people wanted to go as like a group. And I think I sat either next to you or we like briefly chatted, very brief. It wasn't like we hit it off or anything. It was like we barely talked. But then we randomly opening out of the Eras Tour months later, I think it was like 2 or 3 months later, I was by myself, like eating a taco, kind of just chilling because I was alone. Like I flew to Glendale, Arizona alone. Obviously, I don't live there. And so I didn't know anybody. I wasn't like nervous. I felt very safe. It was a very like safe environment. But it was so funny when Kayla And her friends had walked up and we were like, oh my gosh, like I think we had met before. And we like barely knew anything about each other, but we knew we both lived in LA. And so we ended up reconnecting after the Eras tour, which was so weird and funny and serendipitous. And I love having Taylor as a little connection between us.
I know, because I remember when I went to that podcast and you were sitting right in front of me. And I think like I accidentally spilled something and I was like making sure everyone was fine. And then I didn't even know then that you were a Swiftie. I just thought you were like a beauty influencer because I know Sarah, the hosts, because I work with them often because I have beauty clients because I'm a publicist. And so I was just like, when I saw Gwen Stefani, I love her. So I was like, please let me in. And they were like, sure, it's fine.
I love that. Well, that's how we met, for a little backstory for anybody tuning in. Now, I want to do like a little rapid fire before we dive into the music video, just to get up to speed on your Swiftivities, if you will. So what era are you currently in?
Ooh, that's such a good question. I feel obligated to say Folklore, mainly because it's raining right now in LA and it's like cozy. Folklore is like an album it's like my comfort album. I think it's my favorite album. Because most people I feel like don't agree. They're always like, that's a sleepy, sad one. The acoustic versions, I just love it so much. Like I gravitate to that more often, but I do love Reputation. And you know, I'm ready for Rep TV. So I've been playing it a lot too.
Everyone who listens knows Folklore is like my one. Like if I had to delete all of her discography and keep one, it would be Folklore. I feel like it's funny people say it's sad and sleepy, because to me like Last Great American Dynasty is so fun. That's actually like probably one of my top five like favorite Taylor songs. I just love like the story of it. And I remember the first time I heard it, when the lyrics change at the end when she's like, and then it was bought by me, I was like,
the gasp I gasped when I heard it the first time. I was like, that was so sweet, because I was like, what is this about?
Yes.
And then when she swats that line, everything makes sense.
Everything makes sense. And that's Holiday House is what she's talking about, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm right there with you with Folklore. I agree. Okay. I too am in LA and I don't mind this weather, actually. It's kind of a nice change. Okay. So you're in your Folklore era. I know you had mentioned you love Reputation. What are your favorite top three like go-to Taylor songs that you put on?
Ooh, in general or on Reputation?
In general.
So very randomly, I would say my top three songs, my first one is False God. And I know that sometimes is
controversial.
That's my favorite Taylor Swift song of all time. And I have no explanation for that. I think the saxophone in the background is just so soothing, but like iconic. I don't know. Yeah. It's so good for her. And I think that's why I like that one a lot. And it's like, it also kind of feels a little sexual, but like, I don't know. I just love it. Clean, which is also ironic given the weather. Another one of my favorites that I just feel like it's very calming. Anything from Folklore. I love August I like playing quite frequently.
These are like kind of not mainstream ones. Like obviously people know them, but they're not like the top hits.
Yes. Exactly. And I feel like that's why I like them a lot, because they're not overplayed to the general public, whereas they're more played in my apartment. And my neighbors probably hate me because they hear it all the time. What else? I also love Midnights. A lot of those songs, they're just
to
so
me,
good.
Midnights, I feel like is so vastly different as an album from the rest. Like it really does just stand out. And I feel like I've noticed, because Matt, we have Midnights vinyl and I play it a lot because that's the only Taylor vinyl I have. And he's like, this one just sounds different. And I don't know if it was like the period of life she was in. I know that obviously all those songs were like written in the middle of the night. And I don't know if that was what it is. Like these are her like deep, dark thoughts. But I do feel like Midnights has a different tone. And I hear most from people like our age, like true millennials. I feel like Folklore and Midnights resonate most with our generation.
I think so too. I feel like Folklore and Midnights is the album that like straight men started to listen to. And I feel like it really like turned them into fans. Also lately, randomly, Slut, I've been playing a lot. I feel like it's like the beats of songs that I play the most frequently.
That's interesting. See, I'm more about like if there's a certain lyric that I can't get out of my head, like that'll become my favorite song just because of the like two lines of a lyric. So that's funny. So your favorite songs, we know. What about how many times you've seen Taylor in concert and how many times you've been to the Eras Tour itself?
I went to Eras Tour 3 times, which ironically was the first night and the last night in LA.
Okay. The best night, arguably.
I know. Well, it's so crazy when you compare the first night. We had no idea what was going to happen.
I feel like you're the only person I can talk to about this.
Yes. I just feel like it was so, I've never seen a concert like that. I feel social media has ruined concerts for people because you feel FOMO, so you want to watch because you're like, well, what is happening? But at the same time, it ruins the experience and you know exactly what's happening. Like, I've never had an experience with a concert in the past, I don't even know, 15 years since social media, where everything is a surprise.
Yeah.
Especially with Taylor, because she makes concerts such a production where most people just stand there with a mic or dance around. It's different.
It's like a Broadway show.
Yes, exactly. It's like a full, like Mandy Moore choreography was incredible. So it's just so wild. And she sometimes does some like unhinged stuff, like previous concerts where she's flown over the audience, like so cool and different. So it's really exciting to see. But I would say it was so awesome to compare the beginning. And I love the videos on TikToks where it'll show like first night, last night.
Me too.
How different they are, because it's something I never really thought of. I mean, I feel like in the past, and I've been watching Reputation, sadly, RIP, because it's not on Netflix anymore. But comparing the difference from that to this, and how much more choreography, and it feels like a Broadway show, you like.
She's less robotic too. She used to be like, I don't know, like it felt like her neck didn't move, or like she herself wasn't. And that's really hard to master, because I was a dancer my whole life. And I know some people, it's like either they have rhythm or they don't. And for her to be able to, like, even at an older age, most people it's like, okay, if you take dance lessons when you're 15, you can like kind of get it together. But the fact that she's like made that big confidence leap, it's so fascinating how confidence really, I feel like, was the only shift that happened.
Yes, 100%. And you can see when you watch the movie, when you went first night and then compared to the last night in the US at least, it was really cool. And then how many times I've seen her? I've gone to every tour since the second leg of Fearless.
Wow.
And a lot of those concerts I would go multiple times.
Okay. And so like probably over 15 then.
Yeah, for sure. And then I've also gone to like a lot of, this we'll have to have another discussion because I don't know if I've told you about this. I've seen a lot of like secret concerts of hers. Not really secret, like invite.
Like those American Express ones or like.
Yes. Like she performed on Ellen years ago for Red. I went to that and that was like a studio audience. This is a crazy story too. And I don't want to, I'm going to go too far off, but years ago hosted, I think this was in the Speak Now era, if I'm correct. She hosted this competition where it was for universities, and whoever universities got the most votes somehow, she would do a storyteller performance where she would break down the album and talk through each song and the process behind it. And I went to that and I like snuck in. It was a whole thing.
So fun.
So cool. That's like the craziest experience. And I still like, I forget about it because I feel like I've had so many crazy Taylor Swift experiences.
Yeah. And you've done like seat fillers at like award shows too, right?
Yeah. I was at the one where she did, and you can kind of see me in a few of them when she did All Too Well with the headbanging. Oh, yes. I was there for that IRL. And then also she did, what was it? Out of the Woods. And it had those big airplane.
Oh,
that was really
cool. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I'll sometimes watch the videos because they'll pop up randomly on TikTok. And I'm like, wait a second, that was me. So
I love how stuff resurfaces. And speaking of Shake It Off, you like posted the other day how your like little behind the scenes clip from the Shake It Off music video popped up, which is so funny because you look exactly the same, just younger. So that was what year? I have the music video pulled up. What year was that?
That was filmed the year I turned 21. So that was maybe 2011, 2012.
When did Shake It Off come out? Let's see. 2014. It came out in 2014. Well, yeah, it's 2024. Isn't that crazy? I graduated high school in 2014.
So crazy. I graduated in 2011. So it was like, that was at the end of college for me because I graduated college in 2015.
Okay.
And the whole Shake It Off thing, I got the call for the audition on my birthday when I was drinking in Vegas. My gosh.
Well, that was my question, was like, was there an audition?
Yeah. So it was a whole thing. So this was back when Taylor Nation was really small. She was like still coming up, but I feel like people, they didn't advertise Taylor Nation at all because social media didn't really exist. It was really only Instagram and Facebook. MySpace was on the downcline.
And like Tumblr and.
Yes, in the Tumblr era. And so I randomly got an email. It was like a subscription or whatever through Taylor Nation. And I need to see if I can find it because.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that'd be fun.
It was definitely what started it all. And it was just basically saying, if anybody's in the LA area in the coming weeks and wants to be a part of a fan event, respond back with your name, your birth, blah, blah, blah. Just basic okay. details. But they were saying the date is undetermined. You cannot fly out for this. So you okay. must live in LA.
And you're born and raised in Southern California.
Yes. So it was easy for me. I'm like, sure. In my head, I was like, this has to do with an award show or something. They're probably just right. trying to get people to show up. And I can't even remember really what it said, but it said something about cameras will be involved, whatever. You have to be comfortable being on a camera. And I was like,
did it say she would be a part of it or no?
No. It just said okay. fan event LA in the coming weeks.
Message yeah, because fan back. Event doesn't sound like come join Taylor. Like, it just sounds like fans are going to be together.
No, that's why I was so confused the whole time and felt insane throughout the process, because I was like, this is not being explained properly for a good reason, because people right. would come out of the woodwork.
Yeah. People would move to LA.
Yes. They'd be like, I am packing my bags. I will live in LA for a week and hope for the best.
Yeah.
So, and this was when I was living still at home. So I was okay. like an hour and a half out of LA, but that wasn't that big of a difference, I thought. No. So I still applied. I was like panicking, hoping. I didn't hear anything for days.
Okay.
And so days later, my 21st birthday, we went to Vegas to celebrate with a few of my friends. My family was there. And I'm at the Rainforest Cafe in MGM.
Iconic.
I still remember. Yeah. And I was like, I'm over this. And my phone lights up and it's a call from Nashville.
Oh.
And I didn't know anyone in Nashville because I'm from LA or from right. SoCal. And I answer and they're like, hi, this is so-and-so from Taylor Nation. Do you have a minute to chat?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What am I going to say? Actually, thank you. No, thank you. And so I like pick up the phone and I like run out and my family's like, what's wrong with you? And so she's like telling me, we got your submission. We'd love to have you come to an audition for the event. We're holding auditions only tomorrow in Sherman Oaks.
Oh my gosh.
I was supposed to be in Vegas until the next night. And
nope.
I was like, oh, well, it's my birthday and I'm in Vegas. Can I come on Monday? Like, is that okay? And she's like, no, only tomorrow until 3:30.
Oh no.
And so I was like, I will be there.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, we'll email you the information. I run back to the table and we're like, we're leaving at 5 a.m. because I have to be in LA by 3.
Yeah.
And mind you, I only had like club wear because we were in Vegas. No.
What? Very different vibe from Shake It Off.
Very different vibe. Not Taylor whatsoever. And so.
So at this point, they still hadn't said music video or Shake It Off yet. It was just mystical audition.
Yeah. And I was even confused because I'm like, I'm not an actor. I've never done an audition. I'm not an actress at all. And so. Right. Raced to LA the next morning. We stopped at home. I had this like mint green shirt that had cats all over it.
Cute.
And like a Peter Pan collar, like very Taylor Swift, because I was like, yeah. I am winning this audition. Yes. Not even knowing what it was for.
Right.
And so it's in this random hole in the wall, like in Sherman Oaks, and it's like a casting office. And it was me and some other girls there. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe they're looking for like a Taylor Swift lookalike or something. Not that I look like her, but everybody right. had bangs.
So weird.
So weird. I'm like, what are we here for? And so she's like, there was a bunch of different auditions apparently that were happening for a bunch of different, I assume, music videos. And so she was like, oh, are you here for the Taylor Swift music video? And I was like,
oh,
what music video? I'm here for the fan event. They're like, okay, you're in the right spot. And so I like signed in and was very confused. And then they pulled us to the back. And in front of a green screen, and they lined us up. It was like me and two other girls. And they said, you're here for the music video audition. We cannot disclose who the star is, but it's a music video. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm here for the Taylor Swift event. I think I'm in the wrong place. And he's like, no, you're in the right place. And I was like arguing with him for a few minutes because I'm like, no, this right. is the last, it's 3:30. I cannot be late. He's like, you're in the right place. Chill out. And so they start playing an Aloe Black song. And I can't remember for the life of me what song it was. They were like, this is what the song's going to sound like, which was weird. And so they lined us up in a row. They're like, when I point to you, you're going to step forward and dance by yourself for 30 seconds.
No.
Yes. And Barf. I'm not a dancer. And so now I'm even more confused. What is happening?
Right.
So sure enough, they like point at us. And then they're like, okay, we'll let you know if you are selected.
So awkward.
So awkward. And me and these two other girls, and I don't even think they made the cut because I don't remember them being there. Yeah, it was just so bizarre. And I don't hear for like weeks. Weeks go by. Like, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in I was going into a Rite Aid and a call comes up from Nashville again.
Woohoo!
And I'm like, oh shoot, they're telling me I didn't get it. And she answers like, hi, it's so-and-so from Taylor Nation. Like, I'm so sorry to like tell you. Unfortunately, you're going to have to come to LA because Taylor Swift watched all of the videos and hand-selected people.
Oh my gosh. So fun.
I just like lost it. And I was like, why'd you have to say unfortunately? That was right. So rude. So yeah, it was crazy.
Oh my gosh. So that was a pretty long from the time of audition to finding out. And then finding out when you got that call, how long was it until you had to like go in and shoot it?
If I remember, I feel like it was a couple of days. Like I probably got call on maybe like a Saturday and it was shooting on like Monday or Tuesday. And I was only 21. I've never done anything like that. And so
yeah.
I just like drove to Sherman Oaks. They didn't give us really information. They just told us to leave our phones in the car.
Oh, interesting.
And then we had to like sign a really insane NDA that was basically like, you cannot tell anybody that you're here for. And I think it was like until it comes out. I can't even remember because it was so long ago, but I never signed an NDA at that point. And I was
we're
all terrified.
Oh, yeah. Especially her NDAs are probably horrifying.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But like the experience was so wonderful. We all left our phones in our cars. Nobody knew anybody. So we like slowly, I still have friends from that to this day that we still chat.
How many of you were there? How many fans?
No, this is really crazy. They called it, it was like named different birds, like group Cardinal and group Blue Jay or something. And
okay.
One was fans and one were actors. So everybody at the end dancing, they're not all.
Oh, so if you're wanting to see what we're referencing watching the music video, I think this happens around like 3 minutes and 10-ish seconds is what I wrote down. And there's like a row of fans and then they kind of like zoom in to like Taylor standing in front of different various fans slash dancers, you're telling me now. So that's the part that Kayla is in. And there's also behind the scenes footage, which I'll make sure we link in the show notes so you guys can reference it, of like Kayla actually like zoomed in very closely of like the whole behind the scenes. But I want to know, so you said there's mix of dancers or hired people and fans. Did you like, was that a one and done day? Did you have to do multiple days?
So the day that we were there, we didn't know anything what was happening. We never heard the song. We just know there was some sort of music video. They didn't tell us like it was 1989, nothing. And so in the takeout video, if you watch it, that's exactly what happened. Taylor was like, do they even know why they're here today? We knew it was a music video at that point, but we had no clue otherwise. And when she came out and told us, that was the first thing we had heard anything. They had told us nothing the whole day. When we got there, we signed our NDAs and then they picked a few different people to get hair and makeup done when I was being such a diva because I was sad. But I was not one selected and we were all just kind of, they put us into a few different groups.
Okay.
So the first, there were two different groups. One was Cardinal, which I think was the actors, and the other one was some sort of bird, but I can't remember. It was Blue Jay or something. And those were the fans, but they mixed them. So in the end, I think there were three or four different groups and some of people didn't make the video at all. My group was very lucky and we were the one that are featured in the music video. So basically they just like had some people lined up against the white wall and the other groups were either outside because of the noise levels or standing inside watching. And then they would rotate them. So they would do one shot with one group, do it again, one shot with the next group, do it again. And I think we did like three or four takes as a group.
Were they playing the song for you at that point? Like,
yeah. So basically Taylor came out and you see that in the takeout video, they explained what was happening and it's really funny and they cut it out of the video. But she was saying her whole like spiel is like this song is that I go to a lot of award shows. People make fun of me. They think I'm a really bad dancer. And I could not control myself and randomly blurted out, but I think you're a really good dancer. And everyone gasped. And I gasped because I'm like, what is wrong with me? Because I was such fangirling. She like turns to me and she's like, thank you. That is so nice.
That's so her.
Yeah, that just keeps talking again. And I'm like, what just happened? And she did her little spiel and they played the song. And that was the first time we heard it, but nobody was dancing. They just were like, I'm going to play the song for you so you guys can hear it. You're the very first people. She played the song and then she went down the row of the first group, which was me, and hugged everyone and was like chatting them for
so
like
cute.
30 seconds, which was very nice. And then we recorded it. We danced with her a few times and then they would swap out the group. And then that's kind of it.
So fun. I feel like I've had like a couple experiences where I've done like I did a beauty commercial once and I used to audition for Disney Princesses when I lived in Florida. I probably auditioned like 20 times. And I always learned like afterward you walk away and you're like, oh, like now that I know what the experience was, I wish I could have like been more outgoing or danced harder. Or like, I hate that feeling after you do like a scary thing and then walking away. You've probably relived that moment a million times in your head being like, I wish I could have said or done.
100%. Also, that interview in the takeout video is so embarrassing because I'd never signed an NDA in my life. I've never done anything. This was before I did like seat fillers and stuff like that. So okay. I was not used to cameras or any of that. And I had stage fright. Like a few times in college, I would do talent shows and I would sing Taylor Swift songs and I would forget the lyrics in front of audiences. Like I have stage fright. It's not fun. At the time, they just came up with the camera and they're like, okay, we're going to interview you and just like talk about your experience. But in my head, I was like, but I signed an NDA. Like, are they trying to sabotage me?
Right.
And I'm going to be sued? I was so scared. It was horrible. But yeah, it was a crazy experience. And all of us ran back to our cars because we were all friends because we were forced to be together.
For, right. Like,
4 hours and we were all trying to write down the lyrics so we wouldn't forget.
Oh my gosh.
Just for personal use. And it's so funny because when people say Taylor Swift fans are crazy, they're not wrong. Like we took it upon ourselves to be like her bodyguards. We had a group chat and we would all put in if we heard any sprinklings of a doubt or any kind of like whispers of something that was happening because the other people were actors. So they like openly talk about stuff like that and they don't take NDAs as seriously, in my opinion,
right.
Back then, because they were like, it's an I've signed NDAs before.
Right.
So there were like Reddit channels that would talk about, we saw signs that would say Project Cardinal, like, what is that? And we would immediately like all chat and forward it to Taylor Nation. Like we would call them all of the time because we were like, we cannot have this spoiled because I don't want to get sued. But also right. Like it was such a magical experience that we didn't want it to be ruined for anyone. And we wanted it to be a surprise because that's what she wanted.
Right. Well, I thought it was so interesting when I was looking up the music video and just like wanting to learn more about it. This is actually the number 17 most viewed video on the internet of all time. Isn't that crazy?
It's so crazy. I like, it doesn't even feel real.
Yeah.
And it's nice because it's my fun fact for life. And I'm like, yeah,
yes.
Video.
It has 3.3 billion views. Like, that's wild.
So crazy. So crazy.
I can't even fathom.
Same. I'm like, I'm like a celebrity.
Yeah.
In my head. That's what I tell myself. And hopefully when I eventually have kids, they think the same. They think yes. That I'm as cool as I think I am. But it's crazy because whenever I tell people, they immediately know. And it's not like, oh, I was in the Wildest Dreams music video.
No, right.
What is that? Because it's not me as mainstream.
Well, I think what's like really interesting about this music video is it's actually probably one of her lowest budget music videos. Like it's not fancy.
Yeah.
Like I rewatched it before this because I was like, all right, let me get a refresher. And it's literally just like either a black or white or gray background and then just her and people. There's like no production value or editing really to this video, which is wild. Like I think it goes to show like less is more sometimes. And I think why this video is so successful is it was like one of the first times I feel like we really got her goofy personality that we now like love on the Eras Tour 10 years later or 11 years later, whatever it is. I think like that really just shines through of so many girls can relate to like looking crazy and dancing in their room, how she did for like 4 minutes during that video, you know?
For sure. And I feel like it was the first time where she did like cool hair and makeup and was a different personas that she's like embracing, because that was before that would have been before Blank Space, which is another one where I feel like she embraced crazy.
Yeah, well, and a lot of them are like subsequent ones where like her acting, like her as a character, and this one's just like her. She's characters in it, but like they're always her, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was hoping secretly that I would get a call and be like, we're gonna do a reunion for Shake It Off for 1989 TV, because that would have been so cool.
That would have been so cool. I feel like she could have really done kind of a redo of it, but with like her more updated eras, or even like adding in newer drama or whatever. Like, I don't know, if she dressed up as like I don't know, something up from controversy in this current era of hers would have been really cute. I am itching for a new music video, actually. A lot of people are itching for one.
Well, we haven't had one in a while. The last one was the one from Speak Now, right? With Taylor Lautner.
Yeah, I think that was the last one, which I like. But I also love her old, really over-the-top music videos, too.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I love when she, like, plays a character and is like, in it and having fun. Because that one, she wasn't even in.
Yeah, that's true. She wasn't. I mean, the whole point was they were, like, working for her, basically, to help her. If you guys are listening on Spotify, make sure you go down to the bottom. I'm going to have a Q&A section for you guys, and you can drop any additional questions that you might have for Kayla about this experience. And maybe I'll do like a follow-up post on Instagram when this episode comes out, answering some of your guys' hot questions. Or if you guys want to have Kayla back, we can talk about more Swiftivities. But definitely head to the bottom, drop some questions for Kayla. Or if you don't have Spotify or you're tuning in from elsewhere, you can go to the form, which is in the episode description, fill out the form, and just tell me that the question's for Kayla, and I can make sure to hopefully get those to her and answer anything else you might want to know. But Kayla, I don't know if you actually listen to Swiftie School, but we end every episode with what I call Swiftie submissions. And these come from anybody. It could be anonymous. They could tell me their name, but we talk about all sorts of random things, sometimes clowning, sometimes random questions for me. But Lizzie A sent in a question, and she had said she was scrolling Instagram and came across a Pat McGrath ad. And it seemed kind of suspicious because it was posted, seems like earlier this month, which right now we're in January. She said it featured a black and white vault. And because it was an ad, I don't know if she's able, she didn't attach like a picture, so she might have lost that ad. I hate when that happens. But she said she was clowning to see if Pat McGrath was somehow going to be involved in maybe Rep TV. My thought is like the makeup behind like a Rep TV music video, or maybe the cover was my first thought. Like maybe Pat did her makeup or that. But I know you have Pat McGrath Taylor products, right?
Yeah, I was just going to pull out my lipstick and be like, this is the best lipstick. Pat McGrath is so interesting because she's such an icon in the beauty community. And I feel like a lot of consumers don't really know about her. I only know about her because I also have some beauty clients and just like know what's going on in that industry. I actually was talking about something similar about this whole like, is something coming? I feel like it's going to eventually come out maybe towards the end of tour that all of the makeup used on tour is Pat McGrath, because that lipstick definitely is, because I have the same one that I bought when I heard it was. I just feel like her makeup is much more prestige and expensive, and so it's way more long lasting than a Maybelline, for example, or something a little bit more drugstore, I would say. I feel like it makes sense. I mean, she did her makeup a few times for,
I think, Bejeweled, right? Music video?
Yeah. And she did her makeup for an award show. I can't remember if it was the Grammys last year or something.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I talk about this all the time. I don't know why no one, this wasn't like crazy viral, but at the LA shows, they passed out samples of a Taylor Swift Pat McGrath lipstick. And I've talked about this on the podcast so many times because I'm like, why are we ignoring this? There are like little pictures I found because I went night one in LA and night four. And I don't think it was night one. I think it was like night two or three they had passed them out, because on day four, people were like, make sure you find an employee to try and get a sample of the lipstick. And I was there super early at like, I don't know, noon or something. Show was obviously that night. And I went up to so many employees and they were like, we're out of samples. We don't have them. We had very few. But I never saw, like, nobody really went viral being like, I got the lipstick. So I'm dying to know, like, what was that?
It's so weird because I don't fully understand either why she's always, well, why she's always been so secretive about her makeup. It's so hard with makeup, right? Because you can find, there's like this one girl on Instagram who always posts her outfits and I love it. And I'm like, I can never afford a $12,000 bag, but I love that for you, queen. Go off.
Right.
But with her makeup, it's so hard because there's so many different brands. It's all a gamble. But also, even if you go on Pat McGrath's website, there's literally a Bejeweled collection that has a bunch of different products within it. And some of them will literally say the Taylor kit or something.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it's just they're like working out a deal. It's weird from a PR perspective. Because a lot of the times you're not able to use their name without them getting some sort of commission off of that.
Right.
And some sort of contract in place.
Yeah.
But it feels like they've been teasing it for so long.
Yeah, I agree.
That it's like, why not at this point? But she also doesn't have any collabs ever, really.
No. Well, and I wonder too, I mean, if not Pat McGrath, Rare Beauty is just such an obvious choice. And I don't know if she just feels like it would be a distraction from her brand, or if she's so rich, like she doesn't need the money, or if she doesn't want to, like, I don't know, break like the Pat McGrath website by like, you know what I mean? I don't know if she just feels like it's too massive of like an operation. She knows just by being associated with like Pat McGrath, it's doing wonders for them. So I don't know. Like, I'm curious. We'll put a pin in that, Lizzie. But I hope that now that we're talking about this, we get served the ad.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. And also my thing is always like, I don't know if she does collabs. She doesn't do collabs because obviously she doesn't have any brands of her own. But is there going to be a Taylor Swift beauty brand down the line that she just doesn't want to align because then that diminishes her brand?
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. It could be like her post Eras Tour project of some sort of brand coming out. Okay, switching gears to the Eras Tour, Avery sent in a question. She started out by saying, can I ask you a question? And she put LOL. What should I wear to the Eras Tour in winter? I am going to the Toronto show at the end of 2024. It is probably going to be very cold. I don't know what era I want to be in. And I also don't want to be cold. Any ideas? What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, that in that stadium, it's open, is it? That was my always concern when they were performing there, when she's going to perform there during the winter, because I don't think there's a dome. Is that what you call it?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of the stadiums, I mean, even just tuning into these Chiefs games and like watching some of these NFL, and not that I have ever watched the NFL before this, I'm like, why are they shoveling snow in, you know, the Buffalo Bills stadium? I'm like, why is there not a lid? Or, you know what I mean? I'm like, hello?
Yeah. And those people shoveling them are random fans. They don't even work for the stadium. Like, that's how crazy their love is. It's wild.
Yeah. I would absolutely shovel snow for the Eras Tour if she told us. I would take $0.
Sign me up.
I would use just mittens. I don't even need a shovel. Is it BMO Field? That's the Toronto arena. Does that sound right?
Maybe. I don't know. I've never been to Canada.
I've randomly. Never been. I think this is it says it's the Toronto Stadium, and it is very much open, which is horrifying. Yeah,
which sounds like a horrible idea, but I would say you kind of don't have a choice but to wear a coat, unfortunately. Yeah. I've been thinking of going to some international dates, but I still don't have tickets. But I've had that similar thought where I'm like, what the heck am I supposed to wear? I love Lavender Haze. That song is one of my faves.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lavender furry coat would be great. I can just never find one.
Point.
But if you can find one.
Yeah, a lavender furry coat. And then I know hers, I think. Maybe I'm lying if that coat is Oscar de la Renta or not, but I love that the one she wears, you can see it on TikTok if there's like a zoomed in video. It actually has little raindrops hanging from it. The Lavender Haze purple coat, it has little miniature raindrops, like they're crystals that are like in the fur. You can barely see it, but that would be a fun DIY, is like glue some crystals to a furry purple coat. My initial thought that I wrote down was Evermore, do the braid, and then like the plaid shacket would be easy. Kind of boring. I know people kind of want to like do something sparkly and fun. So I also thought, if she's still with Travis and like the Chiefs are kind of irrelevant still when your show rolls around, you could do like a really fun Chiefs outfit recreation, like one of her beanie moments with like one of the jackets. I don't know. I thought that could be kind of cute if you wanted to go that route. But that's a tricky one. I had thought, obviously, she wears the pink coat in You Need to Calm Down, but she has the bikini underneath. But you could still do the fun glasses with the fun updo and then just, like, button it, I guess.
Yeah. Also, with a boot. Taylor performed at Rango Tango in L.A. years ago.
And I was at that.
Well, rainbow. The rainbow coat?
Yes, the rainbow fringe.
Like, if you did, like, a leather thing and you wore, like, a rainbow fringe jacket.
Yes.
With sort of, like, I don't know, tie-dye under it or something, that could be really cool.
And you could easily just do pants. She wore shorts, I think, but you could easily just do rainbow pants and fringe.
Yeah, because unfortunately, it seems like Taylor Swift doesn't own a pair of jeans.
This woman only wears skirts or dresses.
Skirts or shorts? I'm like, what? Where are your pants, woman? Aren't you cold?
No pants.
I'm cold for you.
I know you're tall too, so my thought is that she doesn't like having it be short, like her pants are too short.
Yeah, that is my struggle. Also, I feel like now I can never figure out, because you can't wear skinny jeans anymore, I can never figure out the lengths with like a loafer versus a sneaker versus a heel versus a boot. I can never get the lengths right. And I'm 5'10 and she's 5'11. So she probably does. But I mean, she's rich. Maybe she can have somebody make her personal pants.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you guys for sending in your questions, Avery and Lizzie. If you guys have any thoughts, Swiftivities, Easter eggs, anything you need to send in, just click the form. If you can't find it, send me a DM on Swiftie School Podcast on Instagram. We will be happy to send that over to you. Kayla, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for joining.
Yeah, thank you for having me. If you guys have any questions and want me back, I had so much fun. I would totally do it again.
And let me see your crew. I forgot that you're wearing your little crew.
Oh, yes.
That's the in my eras.
It's so comfy, y'all. I'm obsessed with mine. I wear it all the time. This was like my Christmas sweater, even though obviously it's not Christmas. Well, it has a Christmas tree. It's a Christmas tree farm. But yes. I wear it all the time. And I always get compliments. So you should get one.
I love it. Yes, you should. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to shake it off and sign it off. Thanks so much for joining. As always, it's another great day to be live at the same time as Taylor Swift. Bye, Kayla.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now just know, this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time.